What is going on, everybody? This is Jerry. It's Toffee Blues USA. Welcome, welcome. It's the it's the same old Toffee Blues show, your source for all things Everton, except it's the USA edition. Wow. So I am Jerry, as usual, coming to you from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I am joined this time. This is my first time actually seeing his face while he's talking, or at least talking to me. I'm going to be talking. James is here from the American Toffees podcast. James, welcome, man.
Jerry, it is a pleasure to be on the show. It's a pleasure to see the mane that you have going on. I did not expect the hair to be so luscious.
Man, okay, that's... I'm totally in that phase where I'm like, I want a haircut so bad. And I made an appointment yesterday. My wife was just like, yeah, she can't see you until August 19th.
Oh, it looks good, man. It looks good.
Oh, so you're a nice guy. I appreciate the nice guy. Yeah, that's, I'm working on it. That's all I'll say. It's the longest my hair has ever been in my life during this whole, all this COVID stuff, man. It's been an experimentation period with the hair. So, James, I am in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Where are you coming to us from?
Coming to you guys from Portland, Maine.
Wow, that's right. I knew that. I remember that from asking you this last time. So what is your local like support group in Portland, Maine? Like, what's the closest one?
Maine is, I would say Boston is probably the closest. There may be one in New Hampshire. My goal by the start of next season is to have some kind of Portland, Maine fan base set up. Or at least you couldn't even do just Maine or Portland, because I could very well be the only Everton fan in this. No joke. But I know for a fact that there are at least a handful of other ones throughout the rest of the state. So my idea is to kind of find some kind of central location. Maine's a big state, but someplace where we can meet up, start getting the ball rolling on that. I know the club is making an effort to try to establish an official fan group in all 50 states, and my goal is to be a part of that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so like, I guess to give people an idea who haven't been to Portland, Maine or Maine, or for people who have planned vacations there and not actually gone, me. I am one of those. Give us an idea a little bit about like what kind of town it is, size or city, what kind of city it is, what size, and the cool stuff to do there, just to kind of give it a little bit of an idea as far as culture goes there. And football culture as well, soccer culture. Yeah, really curious about that too.
Portland, Maine's great. I mean, I've been in Maine my entire life, lifelong Mainer. Portland, Maine has a population of about 60,000 in the city proper, and then the greater city surrounding area is probably around 200,000. So it's pretty small. Lot of good restaurants, a lot of good breweries. We have, I think, the highest number of breweries per capita of anywhere in the country.
Not a bad little stat to lead the nation in, my friend.
if you like good beer, you'll find a home here. We also have great seafood, obviously lobster being like Maine's primary export. Portland is great. I am not much of a city person. Portland, Maine is a city by Maine standards, but not by like, you know, you wouldn't think of it as a city compared to something like Boston. But it has the same kind of like downtown area, a lot of nice shops. It's a good city for non-city people, I guess is the best way that I'd describe it.
Ah, that is kind of cool, because I would think there's a decent amount of those. So yeah, very cool. So American Toffees podcast, you've been so kind as to have me on a couple of times. You know, it's been really cool talking to you and Alex. And for those of you who, if it's your first time hearing about American Toffees podcast, it would be surprising, first of all, because I feel like there a lot of people know about them now for a reason. Well, for a couple of reasons, but one of which I'll allude to in a little while. But you know, it's basically they've been analyzing Everton content for a while now. How did you start getting involved with Alex and y'all start putting this pod together?
Yeah, great question. So Alex was the original trailblazer for the Toffee podcast. He started it in, I believe, January of 2018. And he was doing it by himself for like 7 or 8 months until September. And I happened to come across a post that he made on the Everton subreddit. Many people will probably be familiar with that, where he was posting the show to try to get feedback and stuff. And I thought, why the heck not me? Why don't I offer to come on as a guest? So I reached out to him, said, hey, man, I can imagine talking into a microphone by yourself for months on end probably isn't the most exciting way to go about this. Would you want to have me on as a guest? And so we figured out the logistics. Alex is in Virginia Beach. So obviously couldn't meet in person, but figured out the logistics through the internet, had me on as a guest. I had a great time. It was awesome to have kind of an outlet for my Everton fandom. Like I said earlier, being in Maine, not a whole lot of fellow Premier League fans, much less Everton fans. And so it was so cool to have an outlet and someone to talk to about it. And I enjoyed it so much that I talked to him and I said, would you want me on as a partner? And we've been doing it together now since September of 2018. So coming up on 2 full years now. And it's been a wild roller coaster, to say the least. Like the amount of support that we've gotten, the network and connections that we've been able to make with people abroad, people stateside. It's just been an unbelievable experience and I've enjoyed every second of it.
Okay, so I mentioned that effort that earlier for a reason why you may be familiar with the American Toffees besides the content, which, as I said, it's good stuff. So you guys took it's kind of a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride kind of a thing. Yeah. You got to go on a really big trip. Again, envious. Hopefully it's not coming through in my voice how much I envy you guys' trip, but you know, the overall experience sounds incredible. Give a couple of highlights. I know we don't have like 3 hours for you to just like me go crack a beer and you to tell me everything, which is what I would want normally, but give me some highlights and at least let me dream about what that's like.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was, so we were planning on making the trip. We knew after doing the pod for long enough, we got to make the pilgrimage. We have to go see Goodison, have to do it. And so we ended up meeting for the very first time ever in person, face to face, in the Dublin airport in Ireland at like 5 a.m., which is when both of our flights landed. So we meet each other and obviously we spend a couple days in Dublin and then we fly to Manchester and get the train to Liverpool. And that very same day that we're going to Liverpool is the day that we're scheduled to be at the Legends Tour. And so we get to our Airbnb in Liverpool and we're trying to figure out how to get to Goodison. And so we go up and we do the Legends Tour. It's unbelievable. And we get there in the lobby and the woman leading the tour's name was Elle. And she was great. And she says, oh, do you know who's here today? Because obviously they have former players that are there for the tour. And she goes, oh, Big Nev's here today.
Oh, my God.
And we were like, what? Oh, my God, that's unbelievable. First time in Goodison, we get to see the empty stadium. Incredible. And then we also get to meet Big Nev. We met Mark Higgins, and we met Eden Snowden after. They answered questions. Was unbelievable. So cool. Saw the locker room, saw the whole facility, all of Goodison and all its majesty, empty. And then the next day, of course, we go to the match against Manchester United. And the moment that many people may have seen already was when we met Tim Howard on the pitch, which was, if you haven't seen the video, go check it out. It was a complete surprise and a little bit of backstory to that, but not to go on too long, but
oh, you're good,
we
man.
Had found out once we were over there that Tim was going to be at Liverpool too while we were doing the Legends Tour. And so we were like, oh, we got to meet Tim. We got to get down to Liverpool too. And we were in communication with the fan engagement team, Christine Pryor, who is fantastic and helped us out tremendously on the trip. And we were like, Christine, do you think we'd be able to get down after the tour to meet Tim? And she said, oh, no, I don't think you guys would be able to make it, but maybe we can do something later in the week. So we were like, okay, well, that's whatever. We're not going to let it ruin. We're already here. This is still incredible. And so then the next day we're out on the pitch talking with the content team doing like an interview. And then we feel the tap on our shoulder and it's Tim Howard. And like, holy crap. Alex swore and the content team's there. And he looks at the camera and he's like, hope you could, you know, thinking like, hope you could edit that out.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, for an American fan of Everton, it doesn't get much better than meeting Tim, your first time at Goodison for a match.
That's huge. And that's your first time being there and that's your experience. That's just, and I can't get over the fact it's also, and it makes total sense, by the way, it's your first time seeing Alex face to face. Also crazy. Yeah. You guys have been sitting there doing the show together for a while and yeah. Oh man, what a cool run. That's a very cool little run in life, my friend. That's awesome.
Great. And then unfortunately, obviously we got robbed of that result against United. Mm-hmm. And then the next week we ended up going to Stamford Bridge in London, Chelsea away, and saw us get thrashed 4-0. So
yeah, that was
hopefully next time we go better results, but we're all still unforgettable.
Still, you got the experience. And I don't think everybody gets the experience of, you know, going the game home and being able to go the game away. Because that's one of the, I feel like that seems kind of like proper, like you need both if you can. So that's great. You know, especially when you hear the stories from the people that we get to talk to and interact with, and they're like, okay, let me tell you about what it's like away. You know, they tell you all the stories about the opposition fans and getting there and what you're doing beforehand. Yeah, it's really, that's awesome. I'm so psyched for you. It's
you
already
don't sound
happened.
Jealous
I'm psyched
at all,
for you.
Jared.
No, I, that's the thing. It's like, I super, super am, but at the same time, I'm like, that's so great. You know, I'm legitimately like, it's just such an awesome opportunity, man. That's so cool.
It was great. It was great. And every American fan should do it. It's unlike any American sporting event you could ever attend. I'll say.
Well, when I think about the fact that you and Alex and how much that you care, how much that you prep, the effort, everything you go through, you know what I mean? That it's passion. And that's what it is. It's caring. It's passion. It's just the way it is because you care. And the fact that there's a ton of Evertonians, you know, around in this country that care, you know, and have that kind of passion. It's just, it's a comforting thing, man. And it's awesome that, you know, y'all continue to get the word out, and hopefully even more people will be listening to American Toffees now hearing your charisma. So yeah.
Fingers crossed. Check out the show if you haven't.
Yes, definitely. And hopefully we'll be able to have you and Alex on in the future. You know, the only reason only reason Alex is not on because he didn't have a webcam on him. So that'll be fixed. And we'll get them both on. It's going to be tales will be told.
Yeah,
so,
it's a work in progress. Let's get into it.
So today's the recent news of today. I mean, we're going ahead and doing the news, and then we'll hit up a Bournemouth reaction, a Baines retirement, and then we'll talk a brief season review. Because let's be honest, I feel like I could talk to James for a long time about this stuff. Quote came out today about Richarlison. A lot of, you know, basically Richarlison in essence is saying, well, Carlo told me he wants me for one more year. I'll probably try to do that unless there's a really big offer, la, 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 you know, we'll see what happens. And I think in essence, some people were upset and got kind of, you know, a little weirded out by it. But I think the prevailing sentiment was Everton need to grow to be able to catch up and get that ambition to catch up with where Richarlison is, right? And so that's a pretty reasonable thing, wouldn't you think?
Totally. And I get why fans are defensive about our best player not completely outright denying the fact that he may leave someday. But it's also a reality of a player like that you have to expect. Credit to Richarlison. Anytime he talks about the club, he speaks with the utmost respect. You can tell that he loves being here. But after the first couple of years where we've essentially been stagnant and or backtracked, you can't really get too upset with him for thinking, well, if this continues, I have to think about myself first and foremost. I'm not a lifelong Evertonian. And frankly, I mean, I think he's that good that he could end up at the Barcelonas, at the Real Madrids, that type of club. And it would be a disservice to, like, I guess, lie or pander to the fans and say, I'm going to be here forever, when that's probably not the case.
Right. And I mean, like you said, that the thing that really gets me is the fact that he gets the club. He does. You know, he's constantly posting on social media, constantly, like, he just seems happy to be with Everton, and it's cool. So it's not like he's going out. He's not pulling, let's be honest, sort of a Lukaku, where he seemed like he was every chance he got going out there and saying, well, you know, I'm out here and I'm available, everybody. You know, it was very like putting himself out there any chance he got. Richarlison's just kind of like, well, let's see what happens, you know, which is very honest. And he's not complaining, though. He's not complaining, you know, because he doesn't want to, which is awesome. So anyway, I feel like at some point we'll have to have that Richarlison conversation where it's like, if big money comes your way and you get it benefit like Dortmund does, la la la, what do you do? You know, at some point, I'm not ready. I'm not emotionally ready.
Me either. Give it another season, and if we stagnate again, I would not begrudge him one bit for wanting to leave. But yeah. I still think that we can make the right steps this season and convince him to stay longer.
I agree. I'm with you. So the other bit of weird news today, I woke up to, I'm in this this chat room, not chat room, but it's a message. It's like a group message on Twitter with all the Toffee Blues guys. Okay. So all these guys are in there who are always on the tip of what's happening. They always know what's going on. And I wake up to these stories about Ivanovic and how it is in advanced talks. And everybody's like, is this really happening? Are you serious? And then I went to work and I go to this 3-hour meeting. Okay. And the whole time I'm thinking, what's going on? Is Ivanovic a reality? And I come out and it's like the Echo has already said, nah, they're not really into it. And so it's so crazy.
It's such a classic, just throw something at the wall, early transfer window. And we, on the show, we try to like not give too much credence to these type of rumors because A, like Marcel Brands just doesn't leak stuff. Like he just plays stuff very close to the vest. But a rumor for what is he, 35? It's like, get real. Let's look at the trajectory that the club are on. Like that's not the profile of player we're looking to sign. However, what I think may have given it like that little bit of credibility was I think someone like Ancelotti who's looking to essentially reinvigorate, create an entirely new winning culture, may want a more senior player, an older player, a veteran, especially with very few veteran players in the squad now that Baines is gone, to help instill a winning culture. That said, the type of player that we can't be giving minutes to, with all the youth that we have, the potential to develop, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know what the status of Thiago Silva is, but like that was kind of the same type of angle, right? Like an older player, maybe he brings something, at least in terms of leadership. But for me, just another one, and I'm sure there will be more of just let's chuck this one into the trash and move on.
It was so weird. It was like I think the fact that it was coming from like local papers, like, right. And that was really throwing people off. And the fact that they were like, oh, well, he plays center back now. Does that change things? It was all this like I know in the group, I think it was James who said, hold on, wouldn't he add a lot of like grit? You know, wouldn't he add a lot of snide? You know, he'd be mean. We need some mean, don't we? And he didn't use those words. He's far more eloquent than I am. But, it, you know, just, yeah, I was thinking, you know, he's got a point there. And I was like, but I was grabbing at anything. Like, why? Why would we do this? I don't understand. And it turns out we're not. At least right now, we're not. So, yeah.
And you can talk yourself into anything.
You know?
Honestly, if you think about it enough. You really know, especially this time of the year where Evertonians are, like, champing at the bit, ready, let's get this thing underway, here comes the train, all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm sure we'll have plenty more outrageous and far-fetched rumors to discuss in the coming months.
Oh yeah, this one was just so, because it seemed like it was happening from a lot of people's standpoint. It was just such a weird one because I don't think anybody saw why anyone. All right, so intro over, that's day's events, and now we have moved on. We have to, it's funny, some of these subjects we discussed a bit on the American Toffees podcast, so if I would encourage people to go there, check that out, listen to, you know, comments on there. We'll try to kind of, we probably will touch on a few of the similar topics, but I've got some notes here to try to go in slightly different directions so that they're companion pieces, you know what I mean? Sure. That's the way we're going on this. Spoiler alert, if you don't know the score by now, I'm really sorry. I don't know where you've been, but it was, you may be better off though. 3-1 loss. Everton closes out the season in what is Leighton Baines' final Everton match. We'll discuss Leighton Baines' retirement in a little while. But some initial quick thoughts before I get into some specifics. James, what do you feel like you need to get out there about the game just to start with, and then I'll help you out a little bit by being less vague.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Overall, just a abomination of a match. Truly, like, it doesn't get much more just disheartening. And thankfully, you know, and I don't know how many other Evertonians relate to this, but like if the season had just been called null and void when they had to stop, I would have been totally happy.
You know,
like, I would have said, all right, fine, let's just get on to next year. Let's get into the window. Let's revamp the squad. We had some bright moments post break, but this was one of the very low moments. And unfortunately, Ancelotti's unbeaten record at Goodison comes to an end. It's Leighton Baines' last game. What a horrible way to send out a player like that. And the squad just look like they're, half the players look like they're ready to be gone from the team entirely. And half of them look like they need a couple months rest. So nothing tactically that really stood out a ton. Maybe you had some notes, but, and I know we talked about it on our show, but just a disheartening, and we saw a lot of the same problems that we've seen for so long. And what was surprising to me especially was just the inability to mark on set pieces, because we've been so good at that under Ancelotti.
Yeah. That was, I think that's their second goal. I mean, just to go ahead and get it out of the way so I don't forget to cover it. The first goal, a legitimate penalty. 100%. Charleston, like, elbowed the ball. He stuck his arm out. It's pretty clear. It was a, yeah. Do I feel like they reviewed it? They did. To be fair, they reviewed it, and then they reviewed another one by Luca Dean that probably should have been another one.
Yeah, it was more of a handball.
Yeah, and then there was another one later on. I think you mentioned that Moise Kean was involved in the play, and literally the guy moved his hand toward the ball, was not even reviewed. So the moral here, I think, what you said it last time, I'm just taking it as my own now, though, consistency. Let's just get some consistency. So we don't need to belabor VAR that much right now. Let's just get some consistency. That's, you know, I realize it's a hard thing to master, but daggone it, I think we can do better. And that's what's happening. That's happening right now.
I mean, in a lot of lines of work, you have SOPs, right? Standard operating procedure. And it seems like VAR is desperately in need of some SOPs. They have to figure out, well, if there's a handball and play continues, can we stop play to review it? When do we review it? Because it seems like to me that if there's not an immediate stoppage in play, they'll just forget about it and like just let it go on. And I know that you don't want to disrupt the flow of the game overall, but there has to be something. If there's, and that was, for us, it was as nailed on a handball as there could have been. So why would you not go back and review it? The other things that we can talk about would be like, you know, the pitch side monitor and all this, that good stuff. But again, like you said, I don't want to talk too much about it because it's been hammered home so many times, but it is just, and it's never in favor of us. We always get the short end of the stick. That, like, United getting awarded, what, 14 penalties this year?
So many.
Like that.
So, I think it's even more than that. It's so many.
It's laughable. It's laughable. And there's no way, like, an objective metric would have that much of a discrepancy between clubs. Is crazy.
Like, I think we got one, and I feel like that one was just out of like pity. And you know, I realize attacking teams are going to get more penalties. Got it. We're not a super attacking team. We haven't been like this entire season. However, I think we're a little hard done by. I think most neutrals would agree on that. So whatever. It's not the reason we're at where we're at in the table, though, you know. So,
we're not bitter.
So anyway, second goal. I'm skipping our goal. I'll get to it in a second. I'll give some positive in a second. But their second goal. It's weird because when I'm watching it, I'm thinking that what has happened. Basically, we have Branthwaite. What seemed like he was mismarking his player, like he let the player go. But then I realized, oh, hold on, and this is how this play is so weird. I was like, no, it's Davies who's marking that player. They're like, no, it's Sigurdsson. Sigurdsson lets his man go and gets his head in there. And then you realize after watching the play, yes, Sigurdsson's man looks like he scores the goal and starts to celebrate it, but really it's Solanke who got the goal, and it's Branthwaite's man in the first place. So I go back to where I was. You know, and it's just, and overall, that's two people losing their man, essentially. You know what I mean? And it's not like the young kid, you know, it's not like the guy was like really far away. He did challenge for it, you know, but he wasn't tight enough to be able to win that header. And it happens. So you're right. Overall, And it's even worse because Solanke scored, and that just makes everything worse because he sucks.
He sucks.
Okay.
He's terrible. Yeah. The fact that you know, Liverpool were able to get, what, 30 million for him is a joke.
Oh, and he's got an English cap, by the way, too. He's got an English cap. Yeah. England cap. Yeah.
DCL in there. Let's be real.
Yeah. Anyway, Solanke. Yeah. That's what I have to say. Our goal was nice. It was a great team move. Moise Keane just had to be there. It was great work up the field. We worked the ball around. It was incisive. It was pretty soccer. Beautiful football. So yeah, it was solid. It was cool to see Moise Keane getting a goal, right?
Yeah, great to see Moise Keane get on the score sheet. One of the very few positives to take. Hopefully that just gives him that little bit of extra confidence boost. I mean, I think most fans, there is a segment of the fan base that's ready to bin him off after 1 year, but I think they're the vocal minority. I still think he has, I mean, he was the bright spot of the game for me. He looked so different from what Calvert-Lewin offers us as far as actually being able to make things happen with the ball at his feet. An aggressive nature to his game that I don't think Calvert-Lewin has, where he's really hungry and looks like he's ready to take on anyone that gets it between him and the goal. And just the technical ability is a different caliber. So I'm really looking forward to see how he kicks on next season. That was and it was, again, really smart positioning for him. It was a tap-in, but it was a great build-up, great team build-up, and good to find him by Walcott. It was a good pass across, too.
It really was. You know, as you know, Coleman had done well in the, you know, sliding that ball through to Walcott. It was solid play. It made me smile. I was like, yes, okay. There's a little something to celebrate. I'm down with that. I know last week on this show, Cameron and I were talking about hoping for an open game, really hoping for an open game. And I think we got it for a while. I think that was good for us. It was really nice. And then in the 64th minute mark, they replaced Solanke, who is a striker, with Billing, who's a center, like defensive mid. And I realized we had some chances after that, but to be honest with you, it was a lot of us crossing in and them just clearing it out over and over again, or them just blocking a shot that went straight into their legs. There was so much of that, and the middle was just so clogged. You know what I mean? And that was, to me, the part where I was just like, that's what really got to me. I was like, if we can't crack this, and Alex mentioned it too. When our subs came on, which is just after that, I think it was the 70th minute mark or something, we looked worse.
Yeah.
And we did. And he was right.
Completely. And you're right about the open game. It was so, so, so open for the first half, maybe first 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, to me, highlighted more than anything else, just, again, not news to anyone, but just how bad our midfield is. Like, that they should be feasting on that type of space. And they looked timid. They looked apprehensive. They didn't look like they were. You know, Tom Davies, again, a player who's definitely low on confidence right now. But that combo of him and Andre, they should have just taken that and ran with it. And we couldn't make anything happen through the middle. And then we replaced our right side and regressed. Sidibe, he's had some positive moments for us this season. Some great crosses. This was not a good way for him to end his loan spell. Good riddance to him. Hopefully we can bring in... the transfers are... We'll see what John Joe has to say about his staking his place in the squad. But I don't think we'll miss Jabril Sidibe. He is a liability defensively, and the offensive product dried up. But you're right. The substitutes made us worse, and we were already pretty bad to begin with, to be honest. So, I mean, once we went down 2-1, I think we all saw the writing on the wall.
We knew they were going to bunker back. We knew they were going to, you know, and they made... I think that especially making that decision... part of the way, just after we begin the second half, I think it was 15 minutes in, where they decide, you know, hey, let's stop attacking and let's chill back. And the fact that they got a goal after that, after they had started bunkering back, and you know, and again, it's Stanislas, and I'm sorry, but every time he plays us, every single time, okay? That was the player to watch for me last week. Me and Cameron were talking, we're like, every single time, it doesn't matter. You could score from the locker room. It doesn't matter, you know? So frustrating, man. And it wasn't even a good shot.
No, it's another error from Pickford, which, again, just highlights how far we have to go to improve. A player like that who, after his first season with Everton, obviously England's number one. We were over the moon. We said, okay, we have that position locked up for the next 4 or 5 years. And he has just regressed every single season. And it's so frustrating because we know what he's capable of. We've all seen it. The highest stage in the entire world, the World Cup. And it just, I don't know what it is, if he's just low on form, low on confidence, but that's an inexcusable error from a keeper. You have to make that save. That is a drop and hit it wide. And there's just, and if it was just that one incident, it'd be like, okay, everyone has it. But it's like at least every other game, and he has, even in the games where he doesn't make an error that directly costs us a good chance or a goal, he makes weird decisions and he never looks totally confident coming out for the ball. So it just, there's always just that little, and it almost stems from the Derby last season. And I hate to bring back memories of that, but it's like ever since then, it's just been like this slow decline, and it's frustrating because I like kind of some of his attitudes sometimes, but people are saying we need to replace him. I don't know where we're going to get a replacement for him this summer, but
I think we definitely need competition for him is what I would say. I'm not for like getting rid of him necessarily, but I'm for making him nervous.
Yeah.
Definitely for it. But
maybe he's complacent. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's all it is. Like, he just knows he'll start week in, week out. And, you know, we've heard players talk so much about how important it is to have competition in the squad. And we have not had competition since his arrival in that spot.
Yeah. And early in that same goal, I know I was watching it and I was sitting there just ranting on Pickford, and my 8-year-old son, both my boys play, but my 8-year-old's the one who actually watches the games, and he looks at me and he was like, but who was guarding him? And I was like, that's a good point, because he does a little 1-2 and Gordon doesn't stay with him.
Right.
However, here's my difference between that. Gordon's brand new. Okay, yeah. Gordon's brand new, and that's an understandable error. And he busted his butt to try to get back there, right? Pickford's error, I don't see as understandable. I don't get that. I can't fathom it. At least Gordon's, I'm like, you know what? You got to be mentally, you got to be on it all the time. Pickford's, I can't get, you know? And honestly, I thought Gordon played so well going forward.
He did.
You know?
Yeah, and it's the same with like Branthwaite losing his man on the first goal. It's like, you know, they're young. They're not up to the speed of the game. They have an excuse, so to speak, whereas Pickford just is inexcusable. And you're right, Gordon was and has been since the restart probably our brightest offensive spot, besides, you know, Richarlison doing what he does. But between him and Moise Keane, I mean, two really solid options going into next season. But for that goal, not Gordon's best moment, but he has, his work rate still stands out. Like, he does track back, he does those things, and he's been asked to do a lot of defensive work. Kind of a thankless task for a player who prefers to play, obviously, on the other end of the pitch, but he's done a good job with it.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he's not just, I think one of our biggest issues is we were kind of attacking the same way. We were doing that thing that we got caught in a lot in the past with previous teams, previous managers, where we go wide, whip it in, go wide, whip it in. What I saw with Gordon, though, he would go wide sometimes, but also he would cut inside to try to attack from a different angle. I just think that's a smart player.
I think so, too. I mean, you can tell he has that IQ, and he has that something about him where you don't know exactly what he's going to do. Again, he's aggressive. He'll take on players night and day, and I mentioned it on our show, but, like, he tries to beat players with his raw pace, like, just touch it by him and go at him, and that's the type of confidence that I think our offensive players have been lacking for a long time, at least this season.
Yeah, it reminds me of a Jurassic Park. The Velociraptors never attack the cage in the same spot. Gordon's the same way. I'm a geek. I'm sorry. All right. Any final thoughts on this, man? I'm so fine with that. I'm so excited to toss this card, man. No, it came back. No, never come back again. There we go. All right. So, this is something that's been touched on by a lot of people. We need to address Leighton Baines retiring. Those of you who are watching, I have my very first. I realize I'm an adult, and people in other countries don't buy when they're adults. They don't buy the name with the number on the back. I get it. It means I'm some bizarre man child. I know. I just think it's cool because I was excited and it was my first player jersey and I wanted it to mean something. You know what I mean? and Leighton Baines, number three. I was like, that right there, that is an example. That is a symbol. Getting that, I'm like, that is the guy, that is the player, that is the model for Everton for me. You know what I mean? And so that's why I did it. And I realize it's kind of goofy to a lot of people in other countries, but I can't help it. All right. So, yeah, let's talk Leighton Baines. Why is Leighton Baines so loved? And if you can say why you are totally all about Leighton Baines, maybe that's a good way to go. Your personal feelings.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it on our episode, but I've had a few days now to kind of think about it. And, you know, reading the articles, rewatching all of the highlights. I mean, he was a left back that scored free kick goals for fun. Like, you don't see that. He was at his peak, and even sometime after his peak, one of the best left backs of a generation, of the entire Premier League history. And he was an Evertonian through and through. He was a Blue. He had opportunities to leave for United. There were links to Bayern Munich. He just wanted to play in blue. And in an era where we're so accustomed to players viewing us as a stepping stone, he was one who never viewed us that way. He viewed us as like his true home. And you could just see it in the way that he played. And, you know, he was one of the last of the David Moyes era. And, you know, you just see players that are so quick to jump ship for the next best opportunity. And I don't know if he ever really seriously considered leaving. And so that's what every fan of every club wants, is a player truly wants to be at the club that they're at. And we got that from Leighton Baines for, what was it, 13 years? You're right, in 2007. You don't see that very often now. And, will we ever see a player like that again? We may very well not. And he embodied Everton to his very core.
Yeah, when I talk to my kids and I try to give them an example of what a professional at your job kind of looks like, that comes across. And I feel like he's the picture in my mind, like what I'm describing. Someone who shows up every time, plays through pain when he needs to, you know, sits there and he's giving you way, way more than I feel like anybody, you know, necessarily like expected or required from him. And he was, you know, forming partnerships, that partnership with Pienaar, the idea of collaborating with others, being an awesome collaborator, being a good communicator, being a role model to be able to. So kids, I mean, we wanted him there another year. Right. I mean, yeah. And Carlo was like, yeah, one in there another year. Damn right we do. You know, we certainly do. He can. Luca Dean's not healthy. You got Leighton Baines on the bench. Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, especially if he's, you know, banging in goals like he did against Leicester. What?
My God,
that was crazy.
To do that after not playing for like months on end and just coming in and have a moment like that just embodies what he's all about. And he's also never a player who wanted, you got the impression he wanted the spotlight. He liked just being who he was. He had his other interests outside football, photography, music, all of those things. Just a really well-rounded person who was an Evertonian first and just a good person second, and a private person, never just had delusions of grandeur, always kind of just a good teammate. Just the type of player I don't think they don't make them like Leighton Baines anymore, I don't think.
Do you have one specific like Leighton Baines moment where if you're looking back into your memories, and by the way, this was not a question I told you I was asking, so I am springing one on you here. It just occurred to me because I was like, I wanted to hear this. I just got really curious, and I was like, you know, because I feel like we have several that we can like pull out whenever. What's the one for you where you're like, that's my Leighton Baines time right there?
Man, I mean, there are so many. This was like right around when I first started watching. Would have been the two free kick goals.
That was mine.
I steal it. Oh, come on.
No, it's good. That's good. I think that's awesome. You know, that's cool. You know, that's
like that again. It's like it's a left back who takes penalties and bangs in long range free kicks.
Yes.
That is such a commodity. And the fact that he never really got the recognition on like the European level.
Yeah.
Arguably because he didn't leave us for the Manchester Uniteds and things. Like at the same time, you get the feeling that he doesn't want that. So he'll go down in history as one of the greatest all-time Evertonians, despite the fact that he deserved a trophy and we weren't able to get him one.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, for me, it's, and then, I mean, we'll talk, and it might even be, not to foreshadow, but talk about season in review. That goal against Leicester was,
yeah,
in that moment, probably the happiest I've been for the whole season.
Yeah. So yeah, I got to agree with you there. It's just, and we talked a little bit about this before, but the whole idea that, you know, we couldn't get him a trophy, and it seemed, and he didn't get nearly enough, as many England caps as he deserved, deserved to play a lot more for his country to represent it. I almost feel like, you know, I realize that words like deserve are abstract. They mean nothing when it's all said and done. It's not specific. It's not empirical. But if I'm talking to my son, I say, well, you know, I feel like Leighton Baines deserved more out of football because I felt like he put it so much into it. You know, I feel like he deserved more. I'll repeat this. I think he deserved more from Everton in terms of results, you know?
Yeah.
So that stinks, and who knows, we may see him in a club role soon to where, Everton can maybe repay him and, show him some serious appreciation. Cause you hear stories about like the personality of the guy too, just yeah. Seems cool. You know, it's not enough right. That he's like this amazing player, but he's also like super cool,
down to earth guy, like yeah. A guy, cliche, but like a guy you could absolutely have a beer with and just
yeah
chat with. Yeah. And I don't think there's many players, again, in an era where it's become these multimillionaire athletes, he just never really bought into any of that. He always just seemed like your average guy that just so happens to be an unbelievable left back.
Yeah. So I want to end with this one question I told you I was going to ask you, because I found myself conflicted about the answer to this. So obviously we wanted him back, and he's not going to be back. So I guess the question here was whether or not he was going to retire, whether or not he was going to leave and go play for another team, or whether or not he was going to sign the contract and stay with us. So the thing everybody was saying, well, if he leaves, he'll probably go to MLS, right? Mm-hmm. So is there a little part of you that is at least the tiniest bit disappointed that he didn't come to the U.S. just the idea of Leighton Baines just ripping crap up in the States? You know what I mean? Is there that little part of you, or is there that part of you where you're like, I don't want him to fade, and I want to remember him a certain way? So what do you think?
Well, I think you hit kind of both sides of the question. It's like, yeah, it would have been very cool to see him play in MLS. I'm sure he would have done a great job. But there's just something so poetic about just finishing your career at Everton. He would have been a commodity. I think it was, what, before he signed his one-year extension last offseason. He was linked with the Galaxy, if I remember correctly. I
think so.
It would have been cool to see him play stateside. I obviously wouldn't have been making it across the country to California probably to see him.
Nor I.
But I do think, like, he didn't want to follow the well-trodden path of the player who has run out that or overstayed their welcome in the top divisions and decides to take a well-paid retirement. Not that I believe that that's the trajectory of the MLS, but that's how it's often described. That's the narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he didn't just fall into that same type of story and just went out, I think, the way that he wanted to go out.
Yeah, I will say there's that tiny part of me, and I agree with you. I am so on board with you about I think it fits his personality not to go to MLS. It just feels right for him not to. But there is that part of, like, the idea of some of these MLS games, hearing some of these MLS commentators, just, I wished I could have heard them, like, scream at some, like, long-range free kick. I hate I didn't get that, but you know what? It'll be okay. Okay.
It'll all be okay. I'm gonna, like, tear up here thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. So, I know. All right, so I'm I feel bad tossing this one away, so I'm just gonna drop it.
Yeah, nice and easy.
Yeah, dropping it. All right, so finally. Now this next segment, this final segment, could get seriously out of hand. All right? It's a season in review. So a few short highlights. What I'll do is I'll give you some information, a topic, give your thoughts, and we'll move on. Because I worry if I sit here and I pitch this to you, we're going to be here another 30 minutes, and I know you have a life. I'm sure you've got like 8 dates or something. I don't know. I just assume everybody has a life that I don't. So basically, Everton finished 12th in the league this season, 13, 10, and 15, with a minus 15 goal differential with 49 points. It's not the best. I'd say probably the best run we made this season was the Carabao Cup run, where 4-2 win over Lincoln City, 2-0 over Sheffield Wednesday, 2-0 over Watford, and then heartbreaking loss in penalties to Leicester. So that was it. Not a lot happening in terms of silverware, European places. It was very meh. So, in our FA Cup, I think we had a 1-0 loss to Self-Awareness FC, and that was about it. That's not mine, by the way. I'm pretty certain that's Terry's joke, but I'm clinging to it because it's good. But just thoughts about basic, just results at this moment. Just about the results and about, did you see this coming, or is it just straight disappointment?
Man, it is... It honestly feels like it's been 5 seasons. Like, you couldn't break it up into, obviously, like, Marco Silva was our manager at the start of this year, believe it or not.
Yeah.
He's been, in going into the season with the signings that we made, I was fully convinced that this would be, we were going to push for Europe, we were going to be firmly in the picture. And it just started with such a train wreck. Like, we were so, so poor under Silva, and unlucky, to be fair. Like, we were pretty unlucky. But the results alone, like, what was it, 14 points from 13 played or something along those lines under Silva before he was sacked. Just nowhere near good enough. And, I mean, the highlight of the season for me, or at least the segment, was when Big Dunk came in. And we just got that immediate boost, that win against Chelsea, phenomenal. And then we, of course, brought Carlo in, and it was... Again, like, Alex and I were there for the United match and the Chelsea match, and then football just stopped. Like, it's 2 days after I got home from Europe, it was like, everything's on hold. Mikel Arteta has COVID. We're done.
Yeah.
And then there was this weird, it's such a weird, long, broken up season filled with a lot of misery, a couple bright spots, but results alone, 12th place. I don't think anyone would have predicted us at the start of this season. Any Evertonian self-respecting would have picked us this low. So it does feel very disheartening. But we go again next season. I still think there's some positives to take away from this year.
Yeah. So just really quick, I wrote down the what I consider to be the highlights of Silva's season. And the 3-2 win over Wolves, the 2-0 win over West Ham, and the 2-0 win over Watford. And I got to be honest, the fact that I'm giving those results as the highlights, that's depressing. Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's not cool. You know,
those are the only 3 wins?
Oh, no. There were other wins, but they were... Yeah, but no. We had other wins, but these were like highlight wins. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we played halfway decent, and we beat someone... That maybe people, like with Wolves, I don't know if people expected us to win that game. It was great. We won, right? But the other matches, I feel like people expect us to beat West Ham and Watford. That's why I'm saying is the fact that it's just so... We played all right. Played well, right? Played all right.
I will relish beating Watford, and I will relish them going down, because I know they had some delusions of grandeur, as I alluded to earlier. They had some delusions of grandeur pushing... maybe thought they were a bigger club than Everton. We showed them that that's not the case. So
I remember one Watford supporter that used to watch this channel back in the day named Hornet Gamer. I think the very first, he was one of the first people to like comment, and he was super supportive. And so I'm not happy about it for him, but all the other people I see on social media, that's when I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, all right. Because I've seen some of their interactions, and I'm like, eh. So, yeah, for Hornet Gamer, I'm not happy. But for the rest, me. All right, so anyway, Silva left December 5th. Dunk, big Dunk, comes in. He's in till December 23rd. Then Carlo Ancelotti comes in. Carlo, big Carlo, comes in from the 23rd onward. And to be honest with you, I would say the highlights of Carlo is not specifics. It's more beating teams we're supposed to beat, you know. And it's sort of like we're not losing to the teams that we're supposed to beat, but we're also not surprising anyone. It's just you're doing what you're supposed to do. There you go. And that was about it, right?
That's like all we can ask for. Like with the squad that he had, wasn't able to make any signings, coming into a tough spot where we were in the relegation zone. Big Dunk got us out. But it's all you can ask. We had a very mediocre squad. He steadied the ship. He made us really tough to score on. He shored up that defense really, I think, remarkably quickly, considering how bad it was under Silva. And then we had some decent results. I think him coming in, just the fact that we were able to bring in a name like that finally at long last, did so much to uplift the fan base as a whole.
Right.
And I think now that we're finally going to see him have the opportunity to participate in the recruitment side of things, there's a lot to look forward to. But just on results alone, Carlo deserves a ton of credit. He did a great job with what he had available. And as a squad, again, I still feel like people kind of overlook the just sheer number of injuries that we had.
Yes.
This was not a fit squad, really, at any point. Like, we had Mina going down periodically throughout the year. So many others. I won't rattle through them.
Gbamin. Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh! Because he was supposed to,
our flagship signing, replacing our probably our best player, our unsung hero, Idrissa Gueye, and then he just has two of, and it's not even like recur. It's two freak injuries that you rarely see. So, hope he gets well. I still think he can make an impact in the team.
I agree. I still am optimistic on old JPG. So just a few quick. Just to kind of your player of the season. Who's your player of the season?
I think it has to be Richarlison for me.
Yeah,
he's just so. It's not a unexpected pick, but he was just a class above. Like always puts in a shift, gets picked out, singled out by every single team we play, gets hacked left and right, and gets up through it all. And scores goals. And he scores goals with his head, with both feet. He's such a well-rounded player. We talked about it at the top of the show. We're lucky to have him for as long as he wants to stay. And off of the pitch, just his whole demeanor and, like, his character is so likable. He's such a funny guy. I don't know if you saw the video of him when he's trying to order pizza the other day. I mean, that is top-tier content right there. Richarlison. I really think he can score 20 goals for us next season.
Agreed.
Unbelievable player in my standout this season.
Yeah, me and my wife watched the Brazil All or Nothing for the Brazilian national team that's on Amazon Prime, and he's just great. He's just great. I mean, you know, they really portray him like this, like, jokey, fun guy to be around, and I'm like, yeah, okay, that's exactly the way he seems on social media, and that's what he seems in all the Everton videos. He just seems fun. You know, and the fact that he is giving Ederson like so much flack in one of those episodes, and Ederson takes off after him, so great. Yeah, it's Lover Charles. I agree. By the way, he's my player of the season too. Your best moment of the season,
man. For me, I there's two that stand out. Well, three. One, I won't name all three. The first one would be just the Calvert-Lewin goal against Manchester United when De Gea kicks it off him, because that was my obviously first match at Goodison, first home goal. To hear Goodison erupt in the first opening minutes of a match against United was an incredible experience, one I'll never forget. The other one is Walcott's late winner against Watford. That was such a it wasn't a particularly nice goal, but just to finally, usually we're so used to being crushed at the death, with the conceding late, to actually get one late and win was very uplifting and a highlight for me.
And your goal of the season?
This one's easy. Just on sheer sentimental value, it has to be the Baines goal against Leicester.
I agree with that.
What an unbelievable goal in a spectacular moment. And it's, again, a theme, just a shame that we could not get him the result that that goal deserved.
Yeah, agreed. That's my goal of season two. My moment, by the way, was the 3-1 win over Chelsea. I just loved Big Duncan running down the sideline, running down the touchline and grabbing the ball boy. It just, I hadn't seen anything like that, like, and been that, like, completely enthused. Yeah, so it's just, I guess, I don't know if it's fair to pick a game as a moment, but I did. Whatever.
It was good. That was some result. That was exactly what we needed at that time. Just dig in. And I remember, what do we have, like 30 tackles in that game too? That was some great stuff.
Yeah, you got him motivated, I'll tell you that. So that's it. That's all I have on this card, man. I have grilled this guy to death. That's the show. James, I want to make sure I tell everybody, check out American Toffee's podcast if you haven't already. And if you have already, continue checking it out. James would appreciate it, I'm sure. James, do you have anything else you want to say or anything you want to plug with the show or anything else?
Yeah, just follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at USA Toffee Pod. If you want to follow me for whatever reason, it's at Optimum Velocity with the O is a zero. Other than that, Jerry, really appreciate you having me on. Glad we could finally do this. And I'll be reaching out to you after to get what your hair care routine is.
I got to put you in touch with my crew. You know what I mean? It's my hair crew, my team. I'm glad you got the social media stuff. I should say, Toffee Blues, check out the Toffee Blues website, all of the content there. We have some really cool friends that do, that contribute there, that you actually see on some of the Toffee Blues videos and you hear on some of the Toffee Blues podcasts. So there's a lot of really good stuff on there. So check that out. Follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find, I'm assuming you will see some details for Twitter, and whatnot on this video or in the details, underneath on the podcast. James, man, thanks so much again. I appreciate your time. I went 7 minutes past when I told you I would. I apologize for that. I hope to give you that 7 minutes again somehow, maybe with my DeLorean. I don't know. Good to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you, Jerry. You'll be getting an invoice for that extra 7 minutes.
I'll print it out and put it up there. I really will do it. James, thanks so much, man. Please tell Alex what's up. Thanks for your time. Everybody else out there, season's done. Relax. Now the silly season begins. Maybe we sign some players. Maybe we sell some players. Or maybe it's just a bunch of loans. We'll see. All right. Don't take it too seriously just yet, though. Much love, everybody. We're out. Bye.